Good morning, Selena.
Good morning, Kim.
Great to talk with you again.
Yes, indeed. It's lovely to be back on the program.
Now, we're talking about kids. So holidays are coming up soon. And, you know, kids can get bored, can't they? I mean, it's all wonderful when they think about the holiday, but 2 days in, they're like, I'm bored. There's nothing to do. So what can we do teaching-wise and learning-wise to keep them entertained?
That's a very good question. Look, I think the most important thing is that you sort of sneak learning in rather than foregrounding it. So while the activities that I'm going to talk about and suggest are all very good for learning, they don't feel quite so much like learning, and that's a good thing. We certainly find at Chloe, we write holiday programs that use more fun activities like drama activities for English or more applied problem solving for maths that don't feel quite so much like you're learning. So there are a couple of things that I think are really important. The first thing is, and I'm going to say, because I'm an English teacher, but reading. Now, not all kids love to read, but one thing we do find is that if kids are allowed to choose their own reading, they're much more inclined to do it. Parents are often a bit worried about kids rereading books that they already know, but that's okay, actually. As long as they're reading, it doesn't really matter so much what they're reading. And that needs to be an activity that the whole family plays at, because the more that the children see their parents reading, the more likely they are to think that it's a good idea. So that's the first thing I would suggest, is reading as a very important thing.
And I think with reading, like, once you get your kid interested in reading, I think then they realise how darn good it is to read, and particularly read really great books with good subjects, and, you know, they love it.
And look, if you find the real secret is to find a series. Because if your child likes the first book in a series, you've got a whole lot of books for them to read.
Yep.
They get very attached, and some kids are very reluctant to try a book that's unfamiliar.
Uh-huh.
So the other thing you can do is, if you're going to do any driving in your holidays, to get an audio book or, you know, stream it, the book in audio form, particularly if they're a bit reluctant to try it on their own.
Okay, yeah.
They listen to it for a bit.
Yep.
They will probably feel much happier about reading it themselves. Listening is not a replacement for reading, but it can be really useful for reluctant readers. And if you have really reluctant readers, to have both the audio and the visual version of a book, they can read along as they're listening. It just takes a lot of the anxiety away from reading. Some children resist reading because they don't want to be on their own. So if you encourage them to read in the you know, the living room with everybody else reading, it doesn't feel like they're lonely. Sometimes
yep.
That's a reason.
Well, I'm a real reader. I've been a reader since I was a kid, because I took it up really quickly, and I still read books today. I love them. I get so lost in them.
That's right, and it's a wonderful opportunity, particularly if you're feeling a bit anxious or stressed. It's that wonderful place to escape to.
Mm-hmm.
The more that we encourage kids to really develop a love of learning, it's really protective of their mental health as well. So that's really important.
Oh, yes, for sure.
There's been a lot of press at the moment about the problems around writing. Lots of kids aren't writing, and their writing levels are below our expectations and across the nation. So what I would also encourage is to get kids to write.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a bit more challenging than reading, I think. But if that means that you're going to have to go to Officeworks and buy quite a lot of good stationery, I think that's a holiday trip that's probably worth doing. It's just to encourage them, not just the fine motor skills of writing, but actually writing on a keyboard, writing on a computer. They really need to be very comfortable about writing. And it may be that you encourage them to write stories, to write letters, if they're, you know, separated from members of the family because of lockdown, to encourage them to be writing letters or emails to those members of the family, just to get them to be constructing sentences all the time. And it doesn't have to be an essay or anything like
that. Yeah, great idea, though.
Writing is good.
The other one I wanted to talk to you briefly about today is, what do you do with a kid, you know, you go through school and oftentimes you'll like certain subjects, but other ones you just don't get. You have a real block about it. So what can we do to help our kids that have a block about a subject?
Yep, it's a very common problem. The most important thing is to not let students say those sort of totalistic things like, I hate maths, I'm bad at English. that they're very quick to take one little bit of discouragement and assume that it means that they're terrible at the subject altogether. Mm-hmm. And it's very important not to encourage that language, because it becomes self-fulfilling. And by the same token, if you as a parent believe yourself not to be good at maths, for example, don't say it to your children.
Right.
If you say, I'm bad at maths, they think, well, then, you know, I'm probably going to be bad at maths, and it's permission.
What hope have I got?
Language, you know, very careful about the language, because the language is very important. So that's the first thing, and that starts to eliminate the block. So it's very important to identify what the issue is. So if they're having difficulties with long division, that's just a challenge with long division. It's not a challenge with maths. Or if they're having difficulties with, say, reading comprehension, doesn't mean that they hate English or they're bad at English. And the important thing is then to be very specific about what that skill requires, and to make sure that you don't focus too much on the thing they're not good at, but try and encourage them to think of themselves as actually being quite good at the subject. Now, it is often specific skills. And, I mean, this is an area where you might want to look for a specific form of assistance. Not, you know, you don't necessarily need huge amounts of assistance, but you may need assistance to get over that block.
Mm-hmm.
So that then, and the earlier you get onto it, the better. Because it's the risk of it becoming this thing that by the time they get to secondary school or the time they get to actually do their final exam, they're still convinced they're not good at a particular subject. That's what we have to avoid. So do seek assistance for that specific skill if you see it being missing, because it's very hard to build on, you know, a shaky foundation.
Well, once again, very sound advice from you, Selena. I really appreciate your time today.
It's my pleasure. I hope everybody has a wonderful day.